pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a motion to approve the minutes.
So move.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes. Okay, we have an MRDD update and awareness campaign. Wendy?
Good morning. My name's Wendy Planica. I'm the communications coordinator for the MRDD board. And we wanted to just take a couple minutes today to update you on our awareness campaign. As you know, every year we pick an awareness theme. This year's theme is Just Like You, because we want to highlight not the disabilities of the folks that are in our program, but their abilities. And with us today is Robin Whitaker. I'm going to hand out our poster to you in a minute. She's on our poster, and Robin also won a self-advocacy award this year at our dinner at the end of March. I'm going to show our video now. It's just 3 minutes. It's actually a 60-second public service announcements, and Robin is in here also. So as you can see, the theme is Just Like You, that, you know, people with disabilities, people like Robin, just have the same desires as everyone else. I wanted to give to you, we had, these as a giveaway for another dry erase magnets.
Thank you.
Robin's picture's on there.
our star.
Yes.
And then these are awareness posters that we're putting out. If you could take one.
Okay.
Hang it up here.
Well, that's all I had. If you have any questions for me, I can try to answer.
Congratulations, Robin. Good job.
Yeah.
And we appreciate the job you do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for your presentation. You're welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting. It's fairly boring, but if you want to leave, you won't hurt our feelings.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, right.
Good job. Thank you.
I don't think so.
Tim, you want to take us through the resolutions to be adopted, starting travel and training?
Certainly. April 16, 2009, we have 7 travel and training to consider today. First is John Sabatini and Wendy Savino to attend a roundtable for motivating and interviewing sex offenders, $309, Columbus, Ohio, May 12, May 14. Second is Sydney Johnston and Chuck Vitale, adult probation, to attend the spring training technology course, $710, Anderson, Indiana, April 22 to 24. Next, from the Butler County Sheriff's Office, Chief Tony Dwyer and Captain Richard Greer to attend the 2009 45th Annual National Training Conference. London, Ohio, $2,370, July 25 to July 29. Again, from the Butler County Sheriff's Office, we have Deputy Michael Steele for evidence training, London, Ohio, $1,420, October 19th to October 30th. Next, from the Prosecutor's Office, Gene Weeks, to attend Just Wear Training Conference, Logan, Utah, $1,000, June 8th to 12th. Next, Brad Schaefer from the Prosecutor's Office, to attend the same seminar, $1,000, June 8th to 12th. Next, from the Prosecutor's Office, Cindy Berry, to attend the Columbus Coalition Against Family Violence, $500, Columbus, Ohio, April 29 to May 1st. As we move into finance and resolutions, give a handout that had five budget and transfer items. First is a transfer between claims and insurance premiums to cover the annual insurance cost of our Corsa premium, which went up approximately 8 or 9% due to the devastating year that I think all carriers had incurred last year in 2009. Second is the Aquifer Preservation Fund, Fund 50. This is a transfer back to the general fund of $25,000 monies that was previously advanced to this fund pending collection of the tax from the real estate tax bills. Next, item number 3, from the DTAC Prosecutor's Fund. This is a transfer between accounts of $5,000 to accommodate additional training costs. Next, item number 4, the Mental Health Fund, Fund 1630. This is a transfer between accounts of $3,590 to accommodate unemployment cost. Next, under the Capital Improvement Fund, we have a transfer between accounts of $1,500 in order to complete and accommodate the purchase of a computer for the Butler County Sheriff's Office. And then finally, under the Water Fund, Fund 4100, we have an increase in budget of $4,709 due to unemployment cost, an increase in budget of $74.61 due to a shortage in the Social Security medical health tax account, and then finally a transfer between two accounts of $1,227 to accommodate the payment of the county's share of health insurance. Also under finance, we have a request to amend a certificate of estimated resources dated April 9, 2009, fund number 1027, the Ohio Peace Officers Training, an increase of $5,600. Then fund 5525, this is the JAG grant or the Justice Assistance Grant, an increase of $34,877 in the estimated resources for that particular fund. As we move into personnel, we have eight personnel actions today. The first involves the layoff of a building and zoning personnel, one person. Second is to ratify a collective bargaining interim agreement between the Butler County Clerk's Office and the local 3984 ASME Ohio Council, providing for a freeze on across-the-board wage increases and step increases during 2009. Also, we have a request to approve intermittent unclassified position of special projects assistance to hire Brian Coughlin at $15 per hour effective April 13th. Next, we have a request to approve a step increase for Clayton Callahan, collective bargaining member, building and zoning, to $1,842, a 4.5% increase. Next, you have a request to approve and place on file the Job and Family Services employee personnel payroll for the period March 28th to April 10th, 2009. All changes in that payroll has been reconciled back to previously approved resolutions by the Board of County Commissioners. Next, you have a request to approve longevity pay adjustment for Fern Carr, collective bargaining unit member, Job and Family Services, to $17.23, a 0.5% change. Next, you have a request to approve an annual step increase for Amber Harris, collective bargaining unit member, Job and Family Services, to $17.97, a 4.1% change. You're requested to approve the termination of Elizabeth Showman as Unit Support Worker 2, bilingual, in Job and Family Services, effective March 10th, 2009. You're requested, as we move on to do development and community planning, you're requested to approve an agreement with HOME to aid the Department of Development and Fair Housing Training and Technical Assistance for implementing the county's Fair Housing Program for a period of April 30th to April 30th, 2010, for a price not to exceed $10,000. Under Job and Family Services, Job and Family Services have two requests for you today. The first is to approve the First Amendment to a Children's Services contract with the National Youth Advocate Program for Placement Services. The alteration in this contract increases the type of cases and fees to accommodate a large family assessment at $1,500. Secondly, you're requested to approve a Children's Services agreement with Specialized Alternatives for Families and Youth in Ohio for diagnostic access assessments for the period April 1/09 to March 31, 2010, for a cost not to exceed $25,000. As we move on to water and sewer has seven requests for you to consider today. First is to award the contract for the sale of used agricultural equipment that was previously accomplished through a sealed bid process. And here are the final awards. The John Deere 9100 tractor will be sold to David Beezer for $43,501. The John Deere 4560 tractor will be sold to David Beezer for $41,251. The Knight 8132 spreader will be sold to David Beezer at a price of $11,751. The John Deere 510 Ripper will be sold to Tom Reedy at a price of $3,761, and the Krauss 4932 disc will be sold to Tom Reedy at a price of $2,026. Water and Sewer requests you to award a contract for concrete requirements to Adlita Construction in the amount of $149,200. They also ask you to approve and execute an agreement with Bayer and Becker, Inc. for professional surveying and engineering services up to $22,100. Water and Sewer requests you to approve and execute an agreement with Malcolm Perney for engineering services for the Water Master Plan update for $146,000. The last time this particular plan was updated was 1996. This is a full comprehensive master plan that takes consider future growth, build out, you know, as well as the status of current equipment and needs to, for upgrade of equipment and supplies. Next, Water and Sewer asks you to approve and execute an amendment number one with the professional engineering services firm of Hazen and Sawyer for the Swordsville Water Reclamation Expansion Phase 1. The increase from $726,100 to $804,000 is for construction and administrative costs during the construction of this facility. Next, Water and Sewer requests you to approve the payment of $30,025.10 under the Ohio Public Works Commission grant or loan, any amount for the cast iron water main replacement. Likewise, a summer request is also requested for another payment of $71,427, you know, out of these loan funds. As we move on to the Butler County Engineer, the Butler County Engineer has six requests for you to consider today. First is to award a contract 2009-1M for the purchase of bulk treated sodium chloride to North American Salt Company in the amount of $62.01 per ton dump or $65.01 per ton piler. Next, the engineer requests you to award a contract number 2009-2M for equipment purchase of a 50,000 tandem axle trucks to J.W. Devers in the amount of $254,200. The engineer also requests you to approve a contract 2009-8 for the Howard Road Bridge replacement to W.G. Stang, LLC in the amount of $215,369. The engineer requests you to approve and execute agreement with KZF Design for engineering services for the State Route 4 Liberty Fairfield Road intersection improvements. The engineer also requests you to approve and execute an agreement with Thielen Associates for the performance of material testing for various Butler County projects. And finally, the engineer asks you to consider the cancellation of the maintenance bond for the Trails of Four Bridges, Section 3A. As we move on to miscellaneous, we have 12 miscellaneous items to consider today. First is a change order deduction for $5,904 for the elimination of a couple sump pits for that was, we were allowed to do a gravity flow of the outflow of the sewer from this particular building. Next is for the animal shelter, an increase of $1,420. This change is for a drain that was provided for the rinse sink that was also to serve a drain at the commercial dishwasher. You know, however, the approving authority requires us to have separate drains in this particular area. Next is an increase for the animal shelter to the Queen City Mechanicals in the amount of $3,641. This involves the addition of a fixture in the x-ray room that was not previously on the fixture was on the drawings but not on the plumbing drawings. Therefore, we'll consider a deduction from the architect's fee. Next on for your consideration is a request from the Butler County Sheriff's Office to approve and execute an agreement with Dr. Anthony Abdullah for the provision of medical director services for the county's correction facilities as recommended by the Butler County Sheriff. Next, from the Butler County Sheriff's Office, we have a request to approve and execute an agreement with Steve Purdy for the provision of a physician assistant to serve the county's correction facilities as recommended by the Butler County Sheriff. Next, we have a request to approve a Butler County Sheriff agreement with the Bureau of Criminal Identification and Investigation to have access to the National Web Check Agency for FBI and background checks as recommended by the Butler County Sheriff's Office. Next, we have a request to approve the continuation of the Butler County Sheriff's Office Marine Patrol Program as recommended by the Butler County Sheriff's Office. Next, we have an item for you to consider approve and execute an assignment agreement between two tenants at the Butler County Regional Airport. The agreement is between the National B Enterprises Limited A and G Properties Limited. Next, you're asked to approve an additional procedure to provide notification for special meetings whereby any public body can receive an email and place someone on a subscription list that if our special meetings are held, they will be automatically notified, and or they can send in a request to be placed on the mailing list to be notified. Next, you're requested to approve, and perhaps we should pull this one out separate. We'll act on this one separately. Next, you're asked to reappoint Angela Diver to the Butler County Alcohol and Drug Addiction Services Board. And next, you're requested to approve reimbursement of $350 for M&M Custom Catering to the Clerks of Court's office for awards ceremony for one of their retirees. And then finally, under payments, you requested and been supplied payment request for then and now certificates, a total of 92 payments.
I move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Now we have a separate resolution to approve the appointment of Don Dixon to chairman of the E911 Planning Committee. This is an oversight committee to the E911 Technical Advisory Committee. This committee authorizes the distribution of money collected from cell phone bills to be used to upgrade, maintain dispatch communications in order to trace and locate wireless calls. Currently, there's five people that will be serving or serves on this committee, one from the commissioners, one from the largest municipality, one from the largest township, one from municipalities to be elected at large, and one from townships to be elected at large. Motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Mr. Dixon abstain.
That's it. That it?
Mr. President, I do have one item. If you, I would like for you guys to consider, if you would, send a letter also along with lifespan pertaining to TANF transfer to TXX funds. Just read a short paragraph here that kind of sums it up. The impact of this cut in Butler County will be to totally eliminate funding to both Adult Protective Services and for Lifespan's Home Maker and Personal Care Support Program for disabled and older adults residing in their own homes. Both of these programs are essential to maintain the safety and security of our older and disabled residents. It goes on, there's more here, but that sums it up pretty much, and they're sending that to state reps. This one particularly goes to Representative Combs.
Make it in the form of a motion.
I would.
Yeah. Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Thank you.
That's a good idea, Chuck. I support that 1,000%. Commissioner Jolivet, do you have anything?
Nope.
If you have anyone from the audience like to speak before the board, please come to the podium and state your name and address for the record.
Hopefully, after all that information, you won't find me quite as boring as I thought you might.
And it's not over yet.
No, it might get boring on my part also.
I have a lot of information that I brought today, so I'm going to get a packet.
Thank you.
For you to follow along. I'm going to highlight a lot of this stuff, but there's a lot of information in there. I encourage you to read on your own.
I wanted you to see the totality of where the bits of information I'm going to share actually came from so that you could check those resources. My name is Carla Britton. I am a resident of Liberty Township, and I am a registered Republican. Last month, I presented a petition with 479 names against the Fox Foster Placement Policy. No one really seems to know what the legislators will choose to do with the policy now that it's out of your hands, so I will continue to collect these signatures. Today, I bring an additional 176. That takes me to, with all the papers that have been turned in, to a total of 655 signatures. Today, I would like to start with a letter that all of you have already read, but I would like to read it to you. It comes from a lady by the name of Amy Keller. She owns a business that does drug testing and drug rehabilitation for a lot of the families that go through children's services. It starts, "I would like to describe a typical day in my home, first to meet my children. S," I'm just using the initials to keep their names off of public record. "S, stepson, 17. He's in the gifted program at his school, works part-time, plays in a successful band, has been solicited by several colleges. He will major in sound technology. He is very bright and loving. I have raised him since he was 8 months old. J, 11. He is my birth son, artificial insemination. He is in the gifted program at his school. He has been asked by Duke and UC to take the SAT. In fourth grade, he was nominated for and attended the National Young Scholars Program at Northern Illinois University. All of his birthday parties, since he was six, have been benefits for charities. He asked friends and families for donations in lieu of gifts. He has raised approximately $1,000 for St. Jude, One Way Farm, and Endangered Species Associations. He has improved recess and other activities at his school. He aspires to be a minister when he grows up. He has provided services at a wedding and a funeral by request at age 10. G, age 10. He was adopted through the Children's Services System at age 7 to me as a single mother. He has fetal alcohol syndrome, reactive attachment disorder, and facial deformities and learning disabilities. He suffered physical, sexual, verbal abuse, and worst of all, severe neglect in his birth home and in the care of foster parents. His birth parents and most foster families were married and heterosexual. He attends school in a regular classroom and is working at grade level. He received the Promising Young Artist Award and was featured on TV. He recently had a poem about his adoptive family published in a children's poetry book. He has lots of friends and a sweet and caring child. I was told that he would be unable to attach, to form relationships, to learn math, to tell time, or to function in a normal classroom, develop a conscience, use cause and learning thinking, or to control his behavior. All of these theories have been squashed. J, age 6. He was adopted to me as a single parent at age 4. He has fetal alcohol syndrome, reactive attachment disorder, PTSD, heart defects, and a fractured cervical spine. He is the biological brother of G and suffered most of the same abuse and neglect. The prognosis for him was the same, but in addition, I was told that he would not communicate verbally or be potty trained. I can assure you that he speaks just fine and is potty trained. He is an excellent dancer. He is in a special class at school, but is on regular curriculum and thriving. He is bonded to the family and is a loving child. C, he is still a foster child, age 2. He came to us as a foster child at 4 months. He suffered medical, nutritional, and physical neglect. He also witnessed violence. His biological parents are married and heterosexual. He is a vibrant and bright boy. He has a smile like sunshine and gives wonderful bear hugs. He is doing well at his school and is the favorite of many of his teachers. He is developmentally on target and ahead in some areas. He could barely move and had a flat skull from sitting in a car seat way too much when he arrived. He did not coo or smile. Monday through Friday, we get up, eat breakfast, go to school and work, come home, do homework, have dinner, chores, playtime, bath, and story time, and everyone is tucked in. Saturday, we have breakfast, do chores, have family fun time, i.e. movies, board games, flea market, parks, backyard games, board games, etc., followed by wind down time in bed. Sunday, we can be found at our church. We usually go out to lunch and spend the Sabbath relaxing as a family. We are a typical family like most others. The only difference between our family and yours is that both parents are women. We are women who have devoted our lives to loving and caring for the children that God and Children's Services have entrusted to us. Please take this into consideration when reviewing the policy. When it comes to opinions regarding this policy, there are only two. I would like to share actual quotes of those who have gone on record in support of the policy. Mike Fox said, and I quote, "This policy is not an attack on any group. It is an affirmation of volumes of social science research." He does not cite his information source. David Miller, VP of Public Policy at Citizens for Community Values, said that decades of studies suggested that children fare best with a married mother and father. Dave does not cite his source. Ohio Senator Gary Cates and Representatives Bill Cooley, Courtney Combs, and Ted Derrickson, our state legislators, also weighed in. I am confident that giving first consideration to intact married families in the placement of children is consistent with years of social science research demonstrating that an intact married family is the optimum environment for raising children, wrote the legislators. Such data demonstrates that children raised by both a loving mother and father in a stable married relationship fare better in every measured category. Again, no information source is cited. Bill Cooley also said it's just reality that they do better. So let's look at some of the data. All of the information that I share is available online. I'm going to start first with the little pamphlet that I gave you. At the head, you'll see it's Child Welfare League of America. I'll go over the highlighted areas. Since 1920, the Child Welfare League of America and its member agencies have worked to ensure that abused, neglected, and vulnerable children are protected from harm. CWLA strives to advance research-based best practices and sound public policy on behalf of the 9 million vulnerable children served by our approximately 900 member agencies. Any attempt to preclude or prevent gay, lesbian, and bisexual individuals or couples from parenting based solely on their sexual orientation is not in the best interest of the children. CWLA therefore affirms that gay, lesbian, and bisexual parents are as well suited to raise children as their heterosexual counterparts. A growing body of scientific evidence demonstrates that children who grow up with one or two parents who are gay or lesbian fare well in emotional, cognitive, social, and sexual functioning as children whose parents are heterosexual. Evidence shows that children's optimal development is influenced by the nature of the relationships and interactions within the family unit, not by the particular structural form. CWLA's policy and standards are consistent with existing research on outcomes of children raised by gay, lesbian, and bisexual parents. The standards are widely accepted as the foundation for sound U.S. child welfare practice, providing goals for the continuing improvement of services to children and their family. And they sum up in the end, thus, based on a preponderance of existing research, substantiating the ability of gay, lesbian, and bisexual adults to serve as competent, caring, supportive, and loving parents, and consistent with the standards of excellence for child welfare systems. My next source I will cite is the American Psychological Association. Almost this entire packet here describes all the actual information. It gives you case studies, things like that. So I'm going to flip over to the summary. Overall, results of research suggest that the development, adjustment, and well-being of children with lesbian and gay parents do not differ markedly from the children of heterosexual families. And just so that you don't think this is American askew facts, I didn't give you a copy of this, but I can leave this with you when I leave. I just for the heck of it brought a study that they did in the Netherlands. A study of families in the Netherlands indicates that children raised by lesbian couples do not differ in well-being or child adjustment compared to their counterparts in heterosexual families. The findings in the Dutch study are identical to those in a very large number of U.S. studies, says Dr. Robert J. Green, Ph.D., director of Rockaway Institute, a National Center for Research and Public Policy on Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Issues. Children do well in loving families, regardless of whether there are two moms or a mom and a dad. Again, there's a lot of sources there you can look for on your own. As you can see, the research comes to an accepted scientific conclusion. There is no measurable difference between kids raised in a heterosexual home and those raised in gay or lesbian homes. I received a copy of another letter that all of you have also received from a woman by the name of Anita Leshner. She's a nationally certified school psychologist and a retired Butler County resident. I want to share that letter with you. For the past few weeks, I have been following the controversy in the Journal News about the recently enacted policy of Butler County CSB giving preferential treatment to heterosexual couples over single caregivers or same-gender couples in respect to placement of foster children. I am writing to express my support to the 476, that should have been 479 in the paper last time. I got three signatures after I arrived here that day. I'm writing to express my support to the 476 people who signed a petition against the new policy that Mike Fox instituted in December, which just became public knowledge. The need for foster care placement in Butler County is indeed substantial, and such a controversial policy is a waste of valuable time and money. The focus should be on protecting and nurturing children who have fallen victim to neglect and/or abuse. In review of the research literature, I found an article, Science Versus Ideology by Rebecca A. Clay, published in the American Psychological Association, who I have already mentioned, Monitor on Psychology, Volume 39, Number 6, June 2008, quite revealing in regard to the present dispute. The author points to a 12-12-06 Times article by Focus on the Family, whose chairman was James Dobson, Ph.D. Clay reported that Dobson ignored an extensive body of literature to support his belief that children do best when raised by heterosexual couples. I reviewed that Time article where Dobson states, the majority of more than 30 years of social science evidence indicates that children do best on every measure of well-being when raised by their married mother and father. However, this research did not include the findings about parenting of same-sex relationships. To support his bias, Dobson paraphrases educational psychologist Dr. Carol Gilligan, who reportedly stated that Dobson distorted her findings since there is nothing in her research that would support his conclusions. The false statement made by Dr. Dobson was revealed in a follow-up article, Time 12-14-06, by Jennifer Chrysler. The fact is, the research did find that families headed by same-sex gender parents were successful as to providing nurturing environments for children's growth and development. Chrysler also cites the research of Dr. Charlotte Patterson, professor of psychology, who has determined from her research that there is no evidence that the development of children with lesbian or gay parents is compromised in any significant respect relative to that among children of heterosexual parents in otherwise comparable circumstances. Actually, the more I read, the more convinced I was about the need to abolish the policy on hold, given the research findings of scientists who have studied and worked for years within the social sciences to establish empirical evidence as opposed to common sense that is biased. In summary, the present policy relegates other than married couples to second-class status by an agency trying to ensure the safety and well-being of children. To classify people and polarize the prospective pool of foster placements is an act of social injustice. Sincerely, Anita Leshner, NCSP, National Certified School Psychologist, and Butler County resident. After I received that letter, I started doing some research. So I decided to research the Citizen for Community Values because they're the person with the other petition. And they're the ones that have gone on record. So I went there to see if I could find a connection between CCV and Dr. Dobson. So what I did, I went directly to their website. What I discovered was not surprising to me at all. The CVC actually has a link. It has an ad. This is the homepage printout of CVC's website. Notice when I flip here, here's a picture of Dr. Dobson with a link directly into the information. The rest of it is all sex. That's all it is. So, the CVC has a link directly to the Dobson website, Focus on the Family. So I took the bait and I continued on. I found a letter from Mr. Dobson titled Education Turned Perversion. Let me share just a few things from this extensive five-page letter. You all have a copy of that if you want to read the whole thing later. Again, it can be found online at Focus on the Family. Dear friends, the year was 1990 and Gary Bauer and I were collaborating feverishly on a new book titled Children at Risk. Our purpose was to warn parents, teachers, and church leaders about the coming assault on the hearts and minds of kids. It had become obvious for several years that homosexual activists and their allies on the far left had crafted an alarming new strategy to gain control of our children. Not since Adolf Hitler prepared a generation of German and Austrian youth for war has so grand a strategy been attempted. Kids were then and still today sitting ducks for those who would subject them to carefully designed propaganda. And I would very much like to go on record that I agree with that last sentence. I am 100% in agreement with that last sentence. If we flip on to the back of this very lengthy letter, we come to this. Here is a little analogy that may illustrate the state of our families. Suppose you and your loved ones are living in a warm and cozy home where your children are being cared for. You are feeding, guiding, and bringing them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Focus on the Family is dedicated to helping you nurture these precious youngsters. Unfortunately, there are predators around your house that want to gain access to your sons and daughters. They will, if given an opportunity, twist, warp, and molest them. Focus on the Family also stands ready to assist with the defense of your family. I didn't stop there. I went on the website for, when I made it to the Focus on the Family website, I saw that they had a strong association with the Family Research Council. It's a research organization. It's officially associated with Focus on the Family as the Family Policy Council. With little effort, I found more and more of this type of rhetoric. I decided to go to the resource page of one of the outrageous articles and track their resources. One source that was cited was of the American Psychological Review, which is a report that is put out by the American Psychological Association. Since I had been there, I thought this was a good place to look. With just a couple of clicks, I ended up back exactly where I started, at the APA, reading the data, the scientific data, against everything on his website, the same data I had found before, the same data that Citizens for Community Values, Dr. Dobson, and the Family Research Center are all in conflict with. So what does this all mean? To me, it means that we each need to take a look at this. You know, it isn't as it seems. The social scientific evidence is crystal clear. I have been trying to get someone, anyone, at Children's Services to talk to me openly on the record about their feelings regarding this policy. What I have found is a dead silence due to a fear of job loss. It's so great that no one would go on the record or sign my petition, citing they would be fired if they signed my petition, even if they fully supported the abolition of this new policy. I was surprised to find, however, that one very brave young social worker had already contacted the three of you all the way back on March 8th. Now I want to read highlights from that letter. Dear Commissioners, I am writing you with deep concern regarding the new policy at my agency, Butler County Children's Services, regarding preference for married couples in foster adopting children. I take my job as a social worker quite seriously. As you know, social workers are charged with the responsibility to advocate for oppressed, discriminated against groups. The new policy at Children's Services is in direct opposition with the following two concepts in the National Association of Social Workers Code of Ethics. Ethical principle. Social workers challenge social injustice. Social workers pursue social change, particularly with and on behalf of vulnerable and oppressed individuals and groups of people. Social workers' social change efforts are focused primarily on issues of poverty, unemployment, discrimination, and other forms of social injustice. These activities seek to promote sensitivity to the knowledge about oppression and cultural and ethnic diversity. Social workers strive to ensure access to needed information, services, and resources, equality of opportunity, and meaningful participation in decision making for all people. Social workers should obtain education about and seek to understand the nature of the social diversity and oppression with respect to race, ethnicity, national origin, color, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity or expression, age, marital status, political belief, religion, immigration status, and mental or physical disability. The new policy directly affects our adoption unit's ability to adhere to this part of the NASW's Code of Ethics. Because I am employed by Children's Services, it also affects the community's view of me as a social worker. Also of importance is that many of our agency are licensed, and their license could potentially be in jeopardy if a person who is discriminated against chooses to file a complaint against them for following this discriminatory policy. According to the following passage from our Code of Ethics, I would be wrong to be silent regarding this policy, which is why I chose to write you today. Unethical conduct of colleagues. Social workers should take adequate measures to discourage, prevent, expose, and correct the unethical conduct of colleagues. Thank you for taking the time to consider the NASW's position on the important topic of discrimination. I and several others at my agency and within our community share the NASW's stance. If needed, I would be happy to do the research, which I did for you, and produce academic articles, not articles from religious-based family research councils that try to combat the homosexual agenda. Showing that children grow up in traditional families do not have a better chance. Please let me know if I could be of any assistance, as this is a tremendously important topic. I would like to thank you, Mr. Furman, for your statement in the Middletown Journal. It doesn't make sense to keep certain groups of people from having equal rights. The main thing is that caring people have the wherewithal, ability, and desire to take care of kids in a safe manner, the way they should be cared for. I would also like to thank the three of you for immediately sending that policy to the prosecutor for legal review. You prevented these licensed workers from ever having to worry about, do I disobey the law or the policy? You also protected the county from any legal repercussions that may have occurred had the policy been blindly enforced. So I just want to compliment you. That was a very good call on your guys' part. While I was doing all of my research, I decided I need to know a little about you guys, guys I was presenting all this to. So I Googled every one of you, and I'm happy to say I found nothing shocking. But when I Googled Mike Fox, that was not the case. I had a virtual goldmine, page after page after page of information regarding his several ongoing federal investigations. We don't have time here today to talk about all the things that really need to be discussed. We don't have time to talk about Joe Rizzigno and tax obstruction charges, or the yet unsentenced Kay Rogers guilty plea on fraud charges connected to Dynas and over $6 million county dollars. There's no time to talk about Gary Keller and mold cleanup. We don't even have time to talk about Ronica Dillingham or strip bars. While we don't have adequate time to discuss Mike's connections to all these people, we must discuss some things. Mike is currently under federal investigation for his alleged role in the Dynas scandal, for his connection to Joe Rizzigno and that tax obstruction investigation, and for a mold cleanup issue of some sort. While we pause to watch the focus on criminal investigations and personal prejudices, these kids continue to pour into the system, suffering from neglect and abuse from families plagued by drug addiction and poverty. Even though drug addiction is at the very root of most of the problems of these children, did you know that we do not routinely drug test foster parents or foster to adopt parents? Even though more children come into the system year after year, adoption numbers continue to plummet. Last year, only 18 adoptions were actually completed in Butler County. Every day, 67 children age out of the system and are dumped into the streets of America. Over 10% of Ohio's foster children age out without a permanent family. These kids don't have time for Mike's ideas, theories, or philosophies. These kids are dependent on us to look at these facts. Until we focus on the 30 years of compiled facts, we cannot do what is in the best interest of the children. The truth is that we cannot honor the children or our Constitution by relying on biased opinions of those who seek to unlawfully merge church ideas and ideals with state laws and local policies. Until this policy is permanently put to rest, these kids are in legal limbo at the hands of the very people that chose to ignore 3 decades of collected research. In my lifetime, there have been laws in place that made it illegal to marry outside one's race. These laws were emphatically enforced by legalized discriminations. Republicans are often considered the leaders and legal authors of legislation that leads to legal discrimination and government-backed bigotry. On occasion, someone will stand up and say, enough is enough. Abraham Lincoln made the bravest stand against legal discrimination in the history of our nation. He was not just a great leader of our nation. He was a great leader of the Republican Party. We are at a time in Hamilton history when there is very little to be proud of. A time when we look to you, our elected leaders, and we hope to see you outraged by the people and the events that we don't have time to discuss here today. Instead, we see two of you precariously perched on a ledge, still openly supporting this man we call Mike and his illegal idea. I challenge you and our state legislators to look at the facts and not to spend a single minute or a single dollar discussing what can be done to make this policy legal. I challenge you to set yourself apart from Mike Fox the way you have separated yourself from the others. I challenge you to follow the way of reason and logic instead of continuing to hold tightly to the purse strings of your conservative base. I challenge you to tell our state legislators to let this policy die today. And I challenge you to stand up straight, jump down from the ledge, and tell the citizens of Butler County that enough is enough. The next little piece I'm going to close with, I'm closing in hopes that this somehow makes it to the public. In closing, I would also like to take a minute to address the people all over our county who have become afraid to get involved in the foster care program. Don't let the threat of this illegal policy stand in the way of you loving a child. If you sit down now because you think that you won't be treated fairly or treated with respect, then Mike has already won. Let us refocus and remember, we are not fighting against an adversary. We are fighting for the children. This policy cannot currently be legally enforced in the state of Ohio. Let's all fight to keep it that way. This, I'm not going to read, but I am going to leave it with you. This is some information on here on DeWine and his feelings about releasing a much bigger part of your Republican community. And now, if you would, I would love to have your signature. And I would love to have yours. May I leave this with you, too? I didn't put it in your packet, and I certainly don't need it. That's the homepage for CCD.
Excuse me.
Thanks for having me going on.
Welcome. That's why we're here. Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Everybody's entitled to the facts.
I would just like to say that this commission, particularly, I'll speak for myself, Mike Fox does not set policy for me. And his personal and other issues are something that'll be determined by the people in a rightful place. And so far, I think the system has yet to prove or disprove or whatever those allegations are. So.
Time will answer all those questions.
You know, I tend to think we live in America and you're innocent until proven guilty. And I
said alleged all the way through it.
And I want to give him that benefit.
Yeah.
I think Anita Leshner summed it all up. And basically when she said the focus should be on protecting and nurturing children who have fallen victim to neglect or abuse.
Absolutely.
And that is my goal. And I believe that's the total commission's goal. I've never heard any of the other commissioners say anything different than that. So rather than get into some controversy that we really have no way of implementing, I think it's best to focus on that. And that's what I'm focused on. But I appreciate all your research and have been reading a lot on my own. It's clear that I believe it's clear that you don't have to have a married couple to have a successful adoptive.
Well, it's my understanding that you're single and that you have an amazing son.
I've had the fortunate, I guess I could say I've had the fortunate experience of being both married and unmarried. And I can see from both sides, but our focus should be, and it has been proven through different studies, that you know, we don't have enough foster families and we don't have enough foster adoptions.
Right.
And we need to get above being dragged into an argument about who's the best.
We need to not scare people so that right. they tend to not come forward to do these things.
There's very successful stories on both sides. And again, I go back to the focus should be on protecting and nurturing children. Mm-hmm. And that's where I am.
If I may add that we're presently advertising hot and heavy, I guess you'd say, on TV and in other media for foster parents. And none of those advertisements did you see anything to pertain to one group or another. So I just saw those the last couple of days on several of the popular stations. So hopefully it, people will not be scared off, as you mentioned. So.
Well, hopefully with that, the confidence will return, and hopefully with a new director, you know, we'll begin down.
You know, this one statement here, we demand that the policy recently put in place by Mike Fox, it gives preference. There is no such policy put in place.
What paper are you reading from?
I'm reading from your petition. There isn't as a Mike is not capable of putting that policy in place. That's really a misnomer.
That. I will mark that out, and no one will sign it until I mark that out.
You know, that's really a misnomer because that's not accurate.
It's never been implemented.
Right, right. I apologize for that. So, that will change on every other one sign.
If that's amended.
Absolutely.
That's always been the problem from the beginning with Mike's statement. It's merely a recommendation as a director to this board, and the press has always made it sound like it was policy, which was not.
I marked out the page. Well, you'll sign, and I promise I'll go back through and mark it out in every page I have.
I have the originals that you presented before in my office. I'll be happy if you want to keep those for your records.
Thank you. Appreciate your
after the meeting. We'll
appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you for your tolerance of me.
Thank you.
Anything else?
No. I don't think you got anything?
No. Your motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.